why would we bother doing a podcast?
I don't know.
Yeah, we think about that a lot. That would just be a print artist?
Better.
Leave a comment that's hashtag this is awkward.
Like, going back to, like, how the industry is now, like, I don't know where you're at, Ed, but, like, here we have, like, the Ollie's stores, which is mm-hmm. just discounted books. And, you know, 2-3 years ago, you used to go in there and be able to find, like, a few books here and there, or some floppies that they would get and yeah. put a DC or Marvel together. And it's like, now there's like three walls of nothing but trades.
Oh, wow.
Of, you know, everything, Image, you know, Hellboy to, yeah. you know,
Batman,
was a Preacher. Mm-hmm. I've seen there, you know, like all that, all the bunch of Batmans, Greg Capullo's Batman with, you know,
special Snyder. Edition stuff. Yeah. Even, I got all four volumes of Sandman annotated, the hardbound covers. They're $12 a piece there.
Oh, wow.
You go into Barnes & Noble and it's still, you know, 50 or 60 or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, those were high-priced books.
Exactly. And it's
that's got to hurt DC. They don't want to be selling those, you know, premium books at $12 a pop.
Yeah, I mean, they're off-selling them because they couldn't get rid of them. They couldn't give them away. And then it's just annihilating the local comic shops trade sections mm-hmm. when you can go in and buy the same thing for, you know, a lot of them are $4, I think, are the trades.
Yeah. I've bought a bunch of trades there and they were like $4.99 because, like, I mean, the comic shop we went to, they obviously closed down.
Right.
And he just went to straight online sales because he was making more money on online sales than he was. And it's kind of the same thing. Not as many people are buying the new stuff.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, I'm going in to get finish my Daredevil run. Mm-hmm. Do you have this one or these, you know, these certain keys or like saving up?
Yeah, filling holes.
Like, yeah, filling holes in their collection, you know. So it's like just seeing that was a huge, like, you know, me and Aaron would talk about it. I was like, man, I swung by there the other day and it was just, they got three walls of just trades stacked and, you know, $4 or $5 a piece, you know, like I bought,
what was it?
They had, the Batman Returns.
Oh yeah. I saw that
edition with the mask mm-hmm. special edition mm-hmm. trade and all that. And I think it was like $10.
Wow.
So I picked one of those up, but yeah. Dark Knight Returns trade and the mask and special edition. It was like $10, you know, it's like,
that's the state of the industry, though.
And then people won't go to the comic shop and pay cover price because, in the end, they have to think about their own wallets. It's
exactly.
Like they want to think about supporting a local business, but they have to still feed their families.
Exactly. Well, to me, it's
when you can get a local business for the price of one, what are you going
to
do?
That's mm-hmm. what I was about to say. It's like supporting a local business, but at what cost?
Yeah.
Where, you know, Matt had brought it up before, he used to be able to go into a comic shop and drop a $5 bill and get five comics, and now that gets you one comic. Like, where do we create the value as the creators behind the books? As you know, I think value comes in a bunch of different ways now, and I think we have an interesting market in the sense of what's the right way to say it? Being able to connect with our readers. We've never had it as great as it is now, or being able to give them something different, like. For me, running the Substack stuff has been wonderful. I mean, I've really enjoyed being able to just, while I'm waiting for books to get done, here's parts of a short story that I'm working on.
Yeah.
And finding connections that way. And then, you know, the more I posted about that stuff, like on Twitter, I ended up just getting a whole bunch of just novel writers following. Mm-hmm. So then it's like another market where it's like, okay, well, what can I do in this market as well? Mm-hmm. So I think connectivity has never been at a greater place than it is now, but getting the product to sell is always going to be an issue, especially for a small press and indie when we're mm-hmm. competing with companies that are bleeding and dropping off a whole bunch of books for $3 or $4 at a store.
Yeah. I think I've talked to quite a few people and some of them are younger, you know, probably like in their 20s, 25, 26, you know, like some 30s, but I've talked to them, you know, I told them about making comics and how it's like, it seems like they have a problem. Everybody's ADD, mm-hmm. you know? So it's either like, where do I get this? Where can I have it? You know, I've given somebody, you know, a book before and they're like, oh yeah, I didn't read it. You know, like I don't really read comics, blah, 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 but you know, I appreciate it, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's cool. It's like, they're like, you should do a Webtoons comic. That's where I read all mine. And it's just like, ugh.
I've heard that a lot,
you know, and, but it's all anime. It's all manga. It's all mm-hmm. just super short stories. So it's like, are we going back to comic strips now mm-hmm. or are we doing long format books? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, I feel like comics, it kind of takes that person that still enjoys sitting down and reading a book.
Yeah.
And could sit and read a book, but they don't want to read about superheroes, you know? So it's like, well, the younger audience wants fast, instant gratification. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can just pull my phone up and I don't have to go buy anything. It's right here. Cause one, I don't like people. Everybody is a recluse most of the time. At least my friends and people I know, you know, like, and I'm kind of the same way, you know, if I don't really have to go out and be around people, maybe I won't, but you know, I do. Yeah. So, but I don't know. It's the industry's weird now. Like, it's where do you, you know, like Rob was saying, giving somebody something special, like a special edition run of something, a hardbound book, you know, off Kickstarter, is that the option? Is Webtoons the option? You know, like,
yeah,
who knows? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of in that same boat of like, where do you take it? Do they just want something quick? Because are they really like Webtoons? Let's be honest, the artwork is fast. You know, they're cranking them out so quick. You're a cartoonist. It's here. It's instant gratification. I can read a little part of the story and then go about my day. Like, I don't have to sit down. You know, like comic books are kind of like collecting vinyl to me in an opinion. You know, like I want to sit. If you collect vinyl and you listen to it, you sit down and listen. Mm-hmm. Whereas comic books are kind of the same thing. You're like, I'm going to go get my drink. I got this new book. I'm just going to sit down, you know, and just have a moment with this book and read it and enjoy it and then put it back in pristine like condition on your shelf.
And it's bag and board.
It bagged and boarded. You know, it's like that whole experience is kind of like, seems like it's going away. Like people don't want to do that as much. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah. I just don't know where, I mean, like that was one thing I was going to talk to Aaron about too, is just like, you know, should we try doing like, because you could even do it on Instagram. You could do, you know, because you could put 5-6 pictures up and they would each be a strip of, you know, a panel, and then that would be it, you know, and like get engagement that way, you know, like.
Yeah. So. And it's all just trying to find new ways because I think like everything, things become nostalgic. And when it becomes nostalgic to buy floppies again, people will do it.
Yeah,
because just like buying vinyl became nostalgic. I mean, I'm sitting behind a big stack of vinyl and I had to go and hunt down records for years where you could get them, but it wasn't easy. You had to go to the shop that, you know, used to be a vinyl shop and it's 99% CDs. And then there's that little tucked away corner that had the vinyl albums and you'd be flipping through looking for what you wanted. Now the vinyl is larger than the CDs because we had kind of the cycle churn itself. So we could have the same thing happen with trades and Funko Pops. And now everybody's nostalgic and they, you know, the new kids want to read floppies because they want to hold something real in their hands. Cause I think MP3s, that was the way that people were listening to music. You only listen on your iPod and it kind of brought about, people wanted something real and tangible, especially since you weren't getting your iTunes for free. You're paying money for these songs and all you have is a file. So when people, if Webtoons goes to a pay market, because right now you get it for free, but if it came to a way where, okay, now you have to pay for a monthly Webtoons subscription.
Oh, they do.
Forget it. I'm going to go buy my books and own them. And that way I have something physical that's real in my hands.
Yeah. Well, and you know, for us, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say like, yeah, that's one of the things, like a couple of the people that I talked to, they're like, yeah, I actually pay for Webtoons, like, because I want to read it when it comes out. I get notifications. Okay. I get to read it first. And it's just like, It's like, and you're paying monthly for that, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, but you don't get anything. You can't.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't think you can. Can you download Webtoons?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
no,
you can download.
See.
So it's kind of like streaming services.
Yeah.
If you pay for Spotify without ads, you know, I mean, or Pandora. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, it's yeah. one of those things.
Same thing, basically. Yeah. But you just get early access and.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess for me, I'm just old school, and if I pay for something, I want to be able to experience it right. fully. And that's like you said, sit down, put on the record, listen to it, mm-hmm. you know, all the way through. Not like let me isolate the four tracks. It's like no, it's this the experience of an album or the experience yeah, of a comic book. I want to sit down, read it, enjoy it in full. Like you have that 20 minutes of time when it's a comic book, hopefully. That you can really experience it. And that's mm-hmm. something for me. I mean, my books are pretty wordy, but I think about when I was a kid, they were wordy books and you right. got, you could get 20 minutes to 30 minutes reading that comic book where if it's just, you know, splash page, 5 minutes later, you're done. Like, oh, that experience, right. that wasn't what I was waiting for. That mm-hmm. was too fast.
Yeah. You that was an art book. That wasn't a comic book.
Time with.
Yeah. We've been using Global Comics. We had a discussion about what to do with our digitals. Mm-hmm. So we had it where originally we could sell them on our website, and that's what we were doing.
Yeah.
Never got any. I mean, on occasion, people would download a digital. What we've realized is the people that come to our website are typically going to come there to order physical copies.
Yeah.
So that's good in a way. But then we were like, well, what about the digital market? And the thing I could say that I like a lot about Global Comics, and this is in no way a pitch or an advertisement for them, is that they have opened up a couple of different things that I think are very interesting where you can have yours up there and people, if they are subscribers to Global Comics, you have credits and mm-hmm. like every page is a credit or some weird breakdown. And so the creator, if somebody reads through your book, you get a piece of that credit and then you okay. get a payout, however, you know, whatever. But the other cool thing about it was if somebody really likes that book, they can download a PDF of it for whatever price you put on there for a PDF. If they really, really like that book, you can have a button on there where it just takes them to your store to order a physical copy of it as well. Mm. I think things like that right now are crucial in our yeah. current market. Having a place where we can put a digital version of our comic, but it can still lead to physical sales, I think is vital. And like Matt was yeah. just saying with Webtoons, I don't think you can download or anything. So for us in the format that we do comics, which is, you know, American and Western, I think something like Global Comics, that makes a lot of sense. So you can still download yeah. whatever you want. You can still have subscription to Global Comics and read all the comics on there. And if you have a subscription, you don't have to worry about the amount that you're reading because those creators are getting a credit for each page that you read. And we've already, I'm positive, have had more people read the books that we have on there digitally than we ever did on our website, digital downloads. So that's at least encouraging for the state yeah. of the market currently.
Yeah, and that's something I hadn't heard about, but definitely will look into.
Yeah,
it's good. Like you said, more readers because... If even like I was saying, doing cons, that's still limited. You're still limited to the people that are in that building.
Right.
And mostly they're local around California. So it's hard to get new ones. If I do three cons in San Diego, they're the same people coming up. They just want what's new. But to get new ones, that's definitely expanding and it's not limited to your geography that you're in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Matt, what you got?
Oh, I'm just listening. My problem is now my brain's going on like, what would I do? What could be done? You know, it's that motion right now. So I mean, I don't really know where to take it because.
But that's exactly the same conversation. The most comforting thing to me is that it's the same conversation that people in the bigger companies are having as well. And are still confused about and hoping that it can be figured out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm waiting to see where it all lands, you know, because like I said, it's kind of hard to, it's kind of disheartening to like sit there and try to put so much money into a book and then it's, you know, people just aren't interested. But, yeah, you know, yeah. like you said, it'd still be nice to have it because everything kind of makes a comeback. Like the 90s trend is already coming back around for fashion, I was told. Mm. Yeah. So, yes, it is. You know, so where's the comic book? 90s comic book boom back.
I don't know if we want to go there with crossover events and I don't know.
Hey, if people were buying, we could do some hollow foil covers.
Ed. Things got messy in the 90s with books. But yeah, I mean, I'm doing a foil cover on mine because some people like it. I make my numbers very low when I do my variant cover. Yeah. So it's, it's only 25. And I like, you know, that hits that collector market too. It's like, ooh, it's super limited and he's not going to print more. So that's, you know, you have to look at that because the 90s were, the hollow foils and just like, okay, this crossover event, it's going to change the universe. Tell the next one that changes it back to the way it was or changes it again. And it's, I mean, I think that was even in the 90s, Marvel and DC trying to figure out how to keep things fresh and interesting. And it was okay. This title that's kind of floundering, we're going to make like four panels that connect to this larger storyline. So you got to buy this dying title because it features a bit of Nightfall. So you're buying, you know, Birds of Prey and everything else. And you read through, you're like, wait, the only thing that connected to Nightfall was the last page, but they got your money, so they don't care.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the stories are kind of, I think what used to make comics so great was the fact that like your friends would get into it and then you didn't know what they were talking about. And they would start telling you, they'd be so excited about the book and tell you about the story. And, you know, and then you'd be like, oh man, that sounds awesome. Then to make you want to go get it. And then you would read something and then you'd go back to that smart friend who is so into comics that got you into comics and ask them, what in the world did that all mean? Oh dude, here, let me tell you this. So you got to go back, you know, and like, I feel like the stories aren't, it's so like, here's exactly what I'm trying to say slapped in your face. There's no, like some of them don't have as much nuance to where it's intriguing enough to want to ask the question, man, how did that happen? What's going on with that? And then, cause I feel like I don't know if it's one of those things where it's like, we think people won't get it or won't want to try to figure it out.
Right.
Yeah.
From the story, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if that's one of those things that you guys have thought about or, but I just remember those feelings of like we got a friend, Jason, knows so much about comics. You ask him any character, he could tell you backstories. He would, and I get more excited about hearing the story from him. Mm-hmm. And it makes you want to go back and read it. So then you can see like, oh, I read that and this is what happened. And then you would say something and be like, no, that's not why. This is why. So if you go, you know, and it's just like, now everybody's like, no, your idea is stupid because.
Yeah. Dialogue doesn't exist. It's just bashing.
It's just bashing. It's just instant like, no, you're stupid or that's not what it means because you're dumb or, you know. It's not fun anymore. You know what I'm saying? I feel like the fun got sucked out of it. Now it's just.
Yeah. Like, and that's.
Here's
that's
a comic you can insult that it took me a year to make.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just. When I was an English lit major and it was about interpreting and there was no right interpretation. The right one was the one you could prove and someone else could prove something entirely different. That didn't make them more correct or less. It was just, you are supposed to find the meaning and then support the meaning. And if, you know, that would be the kind of discussions you had. And I remember we would sit in a circle in those classes and we would talk about what we got and what proof we think we have, and someone could have a completely different opinion and think yours was absolute garbage, but wouldn't say it. They'd say, okay, I see where you got that, but this is what I got. And now, like you said, it's just troll bashing. It's like, you're an idiot, go to hell, and you should be neutered. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
It's dark with it. And it's like, all I said was, I don't agree. I think this, and it's not about facts and proof anymore because in the end, you're just arguing opinions.
Right.
And you can have proof for your opinion. That doesn't make it the right opinion. And that's, I try to teach that because I teach sixth grade and I try to teach that in their writing. Like there's no right or wrong, but can you get proof to support your argument?
Right.
And I'm trying to build that into this next generation so that, you know, 10 years from now, we'll have a lot less trolls on the internet.
Right. Yeah, it's like, this is my opinion and it's right and don't even question it. You know, it's like, no, it's like, it's good to have that other like, oh, I didn't see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you read another book and you're like, oh, okay, that does kind of play out what they were talking about, but it mm-hmm. also kind of plays out what I was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it just, you know, makes your brain actually work, you know?
Yeah.
And it just seems like I said, some comics now are just so like, this is what I'm trying to say. And mm-hmm. so then there's no point in like arguing with it because they just blatantly tell you exactly what they want to say.
Yeah,
and right. expect that you can't figure it out or you can't have a good opinion of it, you know?
Yeah. And it's okay for two people to be right.
Exactly.
It's not a problem. And we live in a culture that kind of discredits that. Like, no, yeah. one person is right and they're going to stand up on the rooftops and scream it and pelt anyone who disagrees with rocks. And mm-hmm. it's like, it's just a sad mentality because both of you can be right and wrong at the same time. And
right.
in the past, that was okay. That was yeah. never frowned upon.
Yeah. That's the thing I told Aaron, or, you know, we've had this discussion before of the fact of, you know, nowadays, I'm not trying to get like social blah, blah, blah. But you know, back in the days it used to be, what was it? Oh, I lost my train of thought. But it was basically just, oh, you guys, you would talk about something and have a disagreement, but it was, you would ask your friend, you'd go, Hey Ed, do you like this? And they'd be like, no. And it's just like, oh, well, we can't talk anymore. Instead of being like, the conversation would then go to, oh, well, what do you like? And then you'd find that common ground. And then you mm-hmm. would talk about that. You wouldn't talk about what you hate about different things.
Star or
different,
Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, or, yeah. If you're a Star Trek or a Star Wars person to make it non-political.
Yeah, exactly.
And now, I mean, it would be like, all right, anyone on this feed who's a Star Wars fan, just unfriend me right now.
Yeah.
Because I don't agree with you, and Star Wars is crap, and Star Trek is the only good thing in this world, so just unfriend me. Unfriend me right away, because Star Wars, boo. And we become that world, where it's not like, oh, you know what? They're both cool. They're fantasy space operas, and in the end, it's, you know, it's okay to like Star Wars or Star Trek or, you know,
even Wolf. So it'd be like, I'm not a big Star Trek fan. Okay, cool. You like Ninja Turtles? Dude, yeah, I love Ninja Turtles. Yeah,
so there
and
you
then,
go.
Then you would
you
just go down
the right way.
You just go into a Ninja Turtle rant, and then you could be friends with that person because you guys had that common thing, you know?
Yeah, and no one's cares. Okay. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. So.
If I had a coffee shop, I'd name it Common Grounds.
Yeah.
So it works. There you go.
Got to get that open and sell comic books.
That's right. That's the next place you got to get a Starbucks.
Buy a comic, read it while you're drinking your coffee. Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have a discussion circle.
Yeah. And then, if you want to have a discussion circle where all opinions are valued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
It's okay.
That's the hard part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we're a little ways off from when you can sit around and have logical discussions.
Yeah.
Or illogical. I mean, whatever. I don't know. At the end of the day, it's comic books. I feel like the indie market has the corner on more creativity right now, though. It's not as recycled. I mean, you'll come across that stuff that's recycled, but for the most part, I think I still enjoy reading small press quite a bit more. Not even just small press, but even just indie titles in general. I just enjoy reading them more currently than the big stuff. I just recently started reading anything from the big two again with Sword of Azrael, which is only like a six-parter. But it's because I thought he was a dope character back in the day.
And now
they gave him like a little six-parter. It's like, all right, I'll check it out. And you know what? It's fantastic. And I was like, you know what? I don't know this writer. That's why it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So I feel like the only way that the bigger ones are going to kind of get back on track is maybe get some fresh blood, fresh creativity. In there, not try to interlink every single story with Batman. You know, I don't know. At least with our stuff, it's like we get to have a little bit more fun and be a little bit more playful with what things connect to what, or we just put dumb things in the background of panels that mean nothing to anybody else except for ourselves. I do that a lot as a writer, just because it makes me giggle when I go back through and read the book and I'm like, oh, nobody else even knows what this means. So I don't know. I just feel like the creativity's there.
Yeah.
It's just a hard market currently. And it's also a very large market now. There's a lot of people, and like you said, there's a lot of one and dones. There's a lot of people that come in and they're like, oh, let me put a book out and make some money. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah. That's the dream right there, that they're going to back up the truck of money to your house as soon as that comic book comes out, and you're going to get signed by 4 streaming services and they're going to want everything that you put out. But yeah, that's not the reality. And that's why some people, they get that first issue out and they realize, oof, wow, that was a lot more difficult than I anticipated, and out they go. And yeah, I mean, and I can't begrudge them, because it was a very difficult process to get a book out. And it, no matter what book you're putting out, whether it's issue 1 or 7, there's always something. There's always a factor that comes out at you that you didn't anticipate, and it blindsides you. But it's the perseverance. I think that's the thing with indie comics, is they are so passionate about their story. They're going to persevere through all of those problems and keep that book coming out for you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Can you give a piece of advice to people that are getting into the comic book world, as far as creators go? What piece of advice would you have for them?
I think take your time, because I wanted to jump in so quickly. And I mean, I got lucky. I had generous family and friends. I had enough to sustain me, but take your time, talk to other creators. Most of the creators out there aren't looking for a handout. They're not looking for, okay, oh, I do well on Kickstarter, you're going to pay me for my expertise. But talk to other creators, learn what made them succeed, learn what you need to avoid, and don't just put it out there, you know, quickly. Take your time, do your research, and talk to other people. Find groups out there on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, that you can talk to other people who have already been through it. And that way you can learn from their mistakes, still make some of your own, but you can share those with them and they can try to avoid them as well. And don't think that you have to do this overnight, because nothing good happens immediately. Take your time, do your research, and you know, it's still not going to be easy, but it'll be a lot easier if you have a group of people to help you out.
Truth.
Good advice. All right. You got the next however long you want to talk about whatever you want, projects and such. So have
it. All right. So I will tell you, I am the creator of Finish Line Comics. Our primary book right now is Immortal Era, releasing issue 7 this in December. It'll be out. We're actually sending it to the printer next week. And that's a post-apocalyptic story in a world where people no longer die. Aaron worked with me on issue 7, and then I have a new book series coming out next year, Corruptor, and Aaron's my editor on that series, and that one should be a fun one, completely different vibe than Immortal Era. So check out all of my stuff, follow me on socials under Finish Line Comics. We've already done a couple sneak peeks of the artwork for Corruptor that's coming out. So yeah, there should be some great stuff coming out with Finish Line Comics next year, and hopefully you can check us out and something will work for you.
Well, Ed, stick around for a minute after I hit the button, but thank you everybody for checking out the podcast. Follow us on Twitter, if Twitter still exists at the time of this, after, you know, when this is released. It's at Beards and Comics, or at Catalyst Comics with an X. And then I think, I don't know, Matt's doing his thing with tattoos. I'm still writing. At the point that this is aired, I'm working on a new short story that's going to be weekly, and it has to do with Valhalla and Vikings and rowing and weird stuff. So check that out on my Substack. And then Catalyst stuff, I don't know. At this point, we'll have to record something whenever we have something to say. So thank you all for checking out Beards and Comics podcast, and we'll see you next week. Matt, do you have a final word?
Sure don't.
Beards and Comics podcast is a production of Catalyst Comics Studio. To get in touch with us, visit CatalystComicsStudio.com or search for Beards and Comics Podcast on Facebook. Hey, if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It doesn't sound like much, but it helps a whole lot.